In our last study together, we considered the name Jehovah Makedesh, the Lord who sanctifies. That was found in Leviticus chapter 20. As we come to the study of the next name revealed to us in the Word of God, we find that 200 years has now passed since that revelation of Jehovah Makedesh, the Lord who sanctifies. Israel has entered into the promised land under the leadership of Joshua, who was the successor to Moses. Under Joshua, the land had been conquered, and that land was divided amongst the tribes of Israel for their inheritance. At the end of the book of Joshua, we find Joshua's final challenge to the nation, a challenge that we're very familiar with, a challenge in which he called upon God's people to choose who it is they would serve. Joshua would come and say to the people of Israel, "If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, then choose you this day whom you will serve." But he was proud to proclaim and openly proclaimed that he and his house would serve the Lord. As we come to the book of Judges, though, we find that Joshua has now passed from the scene. And in the book of Judges, we find that Israel enters into a very dark period of its history. In fact, Judges chapter 17 and verse 6 defines that period well. For it says, "In those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes." That is a sad statement, and it really depicts the problem and the peril that the nation of Israel found themselves. This was, in essence, their dark ages in some regards. This was a time of great struggle, and this was a time that you don't look back on Israel's history and rejoice. It was a sad time in their history. Moses had brought them forth out of Egypt and brought them to the brink of the promised land. Joshua crossed over the Jordan with them. They entered into that promised land, conquered and divided, gave it to the people. They received the inheritance. Some 200 years has basically passed since Moses had given to them the wonderful commands and truths of God. And they had forgotten God. And they enter into this very dark time. And as you come to the book of Judges, a pattern develops in this book. A pattern that left the people of Israel without peace. The book of Judges is a time where Israel lacked peace. It lacked rest. The pattern that we find in the book of Judges goes like this. First of all, we will find that Israel served the Lord. But as time progressed, Israel would sin. And then they would fall into idolatry. They served the Lord, then Israel sinned and fell into idolatry. Because of that, God would therefore enslave them by other nations. He would send in other nations to bring them judgment upon his people for their idolatry. And they would be enslaved by other nations. Because of that slavery, Israel would realize that they had sinned, and Israel would cry out to the Lord in repentance. Then God, who is rich in mercy, would raise up a judge to deliver Israel. Israel would be delivered, and Israel again would begin to serve the Lord. But they would sin. They'd be enslaved. They'd repent. Then they'd see the Lord delivered. They'd serve the Lord. And over again, this pattern would take place. It was a time in which Israel knew no peace. The pattern left the people of Israel in a constant state of unrest. That's interesting when you consider that the land, the promised land, was designed by God to be a place of rest. Matter of fact, if you would go to the book of Hebrews chapter 4, you will find that the Lord speaks of our future rest. And he compares that to the promised land of Israel. It was to be a place of their rest. They had journeyed through the wilderness, and God was bringing them to their land. It was to be a place of rest, yet because of their sin and because of this pattern, they would find themselves in unrest. This pattern again developed because God's people forgot God. They had forgotten their God. What did they forget? They forgot that He is Jehovah Jireh, who provides redemption. They forgot that He was Jehovah Rapha, who heals our sickness and our sorrow that's created by sin. They forgot that He was Jehovah Nissi, who is our banner, to whom we can look for victory in every battle. And they forgot that He was Jehovah Makedesh, who sanctifies and requires that we walk in holiness. They were lacking peace. They were experiencing unrest because they forgot their God. And as you come to Judges chapter 6, in some ways, many count Judges chapter 6 and the story of Gideon in some ways to be climactic to this period. If you look at Judges chapter 6 and you look at verse 1, it simply says this: "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them dens, which were in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they camped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come to Gaza, and left no substance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass." When God brought the Midianites, He brought great destruction for Israel. Understand the picture. Israel had fallen into idolatry and they had sinned, and God now brings the people of Midian to bring judgment. And their judgment was simple. They would allow the Israelites to work the land and till the land and produce the fruit. And then they would come in at the harvest time and they would literally, like locusts, just wipe the substance of the earth. There was nothing left for them to eat. There was nothing left for them to partake. They would take their sheep and their cattle, their ox, their ass. Everything was gone. And they oppressed the people of Israel so much so that the Bible says they wouldn't even live in their own houses. They were living in caves and dens. Matter of fact, we find Gideon in a place just like that, threshing wheat. He is hiding in fear. It was a terrible time. It was a time of unrest. It was a time of no peace. It's at this point that God reveals Himself to His people. "I am Jehovah Shalom. I am the Lord who is peace." Look at Judges chapter 6 and look at verse 24. Let's back up for a moment. God has revealed Himself to Gideon. An angel of the Lord has come to him. Verse 19 tells us that Gideon goes in and he makes for the angel of God a kid and unleavened cakes with an ephah of flour. And he brought the broth in a pot and brought it unto him under the oak to present it to him. Verse 20 says, "And the angel of God said unto him, Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon the rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there arose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him," notice the words, "Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die." Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet. Gideon had the experience and the opportunity, in my belief, to spend time with the Savior. I believe that angel of the Lord was the Lord Jesus Christ pre-incarnate. We call those a Christophany or a Theophany. And I believe that he saw the Lord, and God had placed his hand upon him and called him to be the deliverer of Israel. And because God had come, he said unto him, I am the Lord who is peace. Jehovah Shalom. As we consider this name tonight, I want us to see the meaning of that word, Shalom. It's an interesting word. In fact, in the Hebrew language, the word Shalom is one of the most significant words that you will find in the Old Testament. The word Shalom is one that harmonizes with the doctrine of atonement. And that doctrine of atonement is that which provides the basis of man's peace with God. You'll remember that one of the greatest days in Israel's history every year was that Day of Atonement. For on the Day of Atonement, the priest would take the blood into the Holy of Holies, and there he would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. And if God would receive the blood and receive that offering as it is given by the high priest, the atonement was given to the people of Israel. And they would rejoice, for God had given them peace. Their sin had been forgiven and had been atoned for. It was a day that all of Israel stopped. Matter of fact, historians tell us that on the Day of Atonement, especially in Jerusalem when the temple was there, that the people of Israel would gather up on the hillsides. They would even gather onto the Mount of Olives, and there they would stand and they would watch, because from that viewpoint they would be able to see right into the court of the temple. And they would watch as the priests would go in, and they would stand collectively and hold their breath until the priest would return. And when he came forth, there would be great rejoicing. There was peace because of atonement. And the word Shalom is intricately involved in that atonement, for it is God's atonement that brings peace. The word Shalom in its various forms has been translated several ways. It is translated by the word whole. In Deuteronomy 27 verse 6, God says, thou shalt build an altar of the Lord thy God with whole stones. It's the same word that is translated later as peace. It is also translated by the word finished. 1 Kings chapter 9 and verse 25 says, and three times in a year did Solomon offer burnt offerings and peace offerings upon the altar which he built unto the Lord. And he burned incense upon the altar that was before the Lord. So he finished the house. In Genesis chapter 15 verse 6, it is translated by the word full. In Exodus 21 verse 33, it is translated to make good. If a man shall open a pit, or if a man shall dig a pit and not cover it, and an ox or an ass fall therein, the owner of the pit shall make it good and give money unto the owner of them. It is also translated by the word perfect in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 61. And in 1 Kings chapter 8, what we find is Solomon dedicating the temple to the Lord. And he challenges the people at the end of his prayer and dedication with these words, let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, and walk in his statutes, and to keep his commandments as at this day. That challenge that he would give to be perfect means to be whole or in harmony with God. And that concept is the heart of the word shalom, or peace. The word shalom carries the idea of harmony of relationship. It speaks of a reconciliation that is based on the completion of a transaction. It's a word that would talk of a payment of a debt in full, the giving of satisfaction. God is a God who offers to us peace. He offers to us fullness. He offers to us the opportunity to be perfect, to be in harmony with Him. That's important, is it not? For the Bible says that because of our sin, we are the enemies of God. We are not in harmony with Him. But God is willing to make us at peace, to allow us to have a reconciliation of relationship. And folks, we were created to have a relationship with God. He made man and put him in the garden. And in the garden, God came with him daily. And God walked with him and God talked with him. God created us for fellowship with Him. Consider what heaven is going to be like. We're going to get to heaven. The thing that we're going to most enjoy is the opportunity to fellowship with Almighty God. To be able to be with Him and worship Him and talk with Him and hear from Him face to face. We were made for that peace and relationship with God. But sin separates that and it brings unrest. Because of the sin of Israel, because of their idolatry, they were in a constant state of unrest. They were living in caves. They weren't dwelling in their houses. They were trying to store away whatever wheat they could get and thresh the wheat in secret so that they wouldn't come and take their grain so they have a little bit of substance. They weren't at peace. Yet God comes and says, I am a God who provides peace. I give shalom. I give peace and wholeness. Our God is a God of peace. He desires harmony with man. He desires to give us rest in a restless world. In shalom, the deepest desires of men are met, and the greatest measure of contentment and satisfaction of life are found. When man is at peace with God and man experiences the peace of God, he has the greatest contentment of life. When we sever that relationship from sin, when we live with that unrest, we don't have that peace. We don't have that contentment. We don't have that joy. We don't have that satisfaction of life. That truly comes as we walk with God, the Lord who is peace. God comes and reveals Himself to Gideon as a God of peace. He is Jehovah Shalom. Once we understand the meaning of Shalom, I think it's important that we remind ourselves of the source of Shalom. It's important that we not forget that it is the Lord Jehovah who is the source of all peace. Like a river, glorious is God's perfect peace. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed. It is the Lord, Jehovah, the covenant-making God who has revealed Himself personally to you and me. It is Jehovah, the self-existent one, who is the source of all peace. This world is longing for peace. This world is crying out for peace. You look at the Middle East today and there is unrest because they have forsaken Him who is peace. You look at society today and you see the unrest. It's because we've turned our back from Almighty God, from Jehovah who is peace. The source of all peace comes from God, from Jehovah. That is clearly seen that He Himself is perfect peace. Isn't that a wonderful thought? The peace of our God, folks, is never disturbed. He is always at peace. Now the Bible tells me that our God is grieved when we sin. He is grieved by the corruption that is in this world that He created. And by the way, when He created it, He said it was good. God's heart is grieved by the sin that has entered this world, the corruption that is in this world. The Bible tells me that His wrath is stirred towards the evil that is in this world. Yet God, it's always a God that's been concerned about the welfare of mankind. And God is angry with sin. The Lord Jesus Christ even showed that anger to those who would defile the temple. He was angry with sin. He hated sin. But God has always loved the sinner. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish with everlasting life. God is concerned for the welfare of mankind, but God hates sin. Yet in all of these things, His peace is never disturbed. Sometimes we look around and we see the condition of the world and our peace can become disturbed. We can begin to worry and to fret, but God is a God of peace. He demonstrates that peace in His attitude towards men. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, Jehovah says that His thoughts are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give us an expected end. David said in Psalm 29, verse 11, the Lord will bless His people with peace. Isaiah in Isaiah 26, verse 12 declares that the Lord ordained peace for His people. Our God is a God of peace. We serve Jehovah Shalom. He is the source of peace. There is no peace of life apart from Jehovah, apart from Jesus Christ. The means of peace, the final thing I want us to seek tonight, the means of our shalom. In the story of Gideon, it was Jehovah Himself that appeared to Gideon. And it was because of His presence that Gideon knew peace. Gideon was fearful. He was threshing wheat in a cave. He was hiding. And the Lord appeared unto Gideon. And the Lord called him a man of valor. And Gideon's like, I think you got the wrong guy. I think you're in the wrong cave with the wrong guy threshing wheat in secret. Because I am not that guy. I think you've got the wrong tribe because our tribe isn't much of anything. God said, no, Gideon, you are a man of valor and I have put my hand upon you. I've called you to be a judge. Gideon goes and he prepares the meal and he brings it to the Lord and the Lord consumes it by fire. And Gideon realizes that he has seen the Lord. And God speaks to him and says, peace unto you, you shall not die. By the presence of the Lord, Gideon knew peace. Nathan Stone, in his book on the names of God, made this observation. Nothing is more characteristic of the book of Judges than its chaotic restlessness. Yet in all the unrest, Jehovah appeared in order that there might be peace and rest. The book of Judges is a time of restlessness. 200 years have passed since the Lord had last revealed Himself by a name. And in the midst of all this turmoil, in the midst of all this restlessness, in the midst of all this peacelessness, the Lord Himself appears to Gideon and reveals that He is Jehovah Shalom. He is the Lord who provides peace. Isaiah declared it this way in Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee. In the New Testament, peace is offered to those who come to the Lord and leave their burdens unto Him. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Then the promise comes that there's a peace of God that passes all understanding. When our hearts and minds are kept upon Him, and we come to Jehovah and we seek His presence, there is peace. I don't know about you, but I've experienced on both ends in my life that there are just certain things that always brought peace.
I grew up in a family in which one of the things that my brother and I enjoyed every year was the times when we got to go hunting with my dad. In order to put our family through Christian school and provide for our needs, my dad always worked two jobs. He would come home at night, have dinner with us. He would see us for a little bit and back off to another job so that he could pay for our tuition bill so that we can go to Christian school. We realized that from January to October, we weren't going to see Dad a whole lot because he worked Saturday mornings too in order to be able to do those things for us. But in October, we started to get time with Dad on the weekends because that was hunting season. That was good. We would walk our guns in October, for the month of October, for small game. We'd try to see if we could find some birds or some rabbits, and there was never anything out there, so we always took the guns for a walk. That's how we always described it. And then came deer season. You know, there's something eerie about being 12 years old, being given a rifle, walking out into the woods in the dark and be told to sit in this tree and I'll come get you later. That's almost torture. You know, I remember sitting there some days and you'd hear all these kind of noises and you couldn't see anything. I remember the one day hearing this noise behind me, I only turn around to see these big eyes looking at me, and it was an owl. Scared the living daylights out of me. 12-year-old boys kind of get a little edgy out there. Dad would come back and you'd be at peace. It was okay. Then he'd say, "You see anything?" "No." "You stay here and I'm going to do a big walk around. I'm going to see if I can get something to come to you." "Okay. I won't be gone long," he would say. An hour and a half would go by. You're thinking, what happened to Dad? You start to worry a little bit. But when Dad came by, you were at peace. No, it didn't matter where Dad went. You just kind of followed behind Dad. And everything was okay. It didn't matter how long we walked. It didn't matter if he didn't know where we were. It didn't matter if we were lost. And we were lost several times. It never mattered. As long as he was there. Now as a dad, I realize that sometimes all they need is just to know you're there. In the middle of the night, they come crying and screaming. They don't even know that they're up. But when they come into the room and there's mom and there's dad, there is peace. Why? Because you're there. There's something about knowing that God is there. Over and again, the Bible tells us things like this. "Be still and know that I am God. Keep your mind fixed on me, and I'll provide perfect peace. Bring your burdens to the Lord. And there is peace that will pass all understanding." We serve a wonderful God. He is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord who provides peace in the midst of unrest. You know the wonderful thing about the New Testament churches? We get to be a place of peace. We get to be a place where people can come in the midst of the storms of life, and there they can drop anchor. We can be a place where they can know peace in the midst of the storm. They can find friendship in the midst of a world of loneliness. Because there is something about the presence of God that is wonderful. And to Gideon and to the people of Israel, God says, "I want you to learn of me. I am Jehovah Shalom, the self-existent God who is the source of all peace." If you and I desire peace, then we must seek the one who is the source of all peace. We know him as Jehovah in the Old Testament, and we know him as Jesus in the New. He is the source of all peace. Let us keep our eyes ever focused upon him. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee." Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace when we're stayed upon Jehovah. Hearts are always truly blessed. Let's pray.